You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, powered by Diaga.ie and proudly sponsored by Flomax. Be sure to check out our brand new website, BetweenTheStripes.ie, while you can find us on Twitter at Between Stripes or on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Now, here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Jonathan Breyer.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, Series 2, Episode 26, Kieran Burke and John Breyer in studio. I was away last week so there was no show, so John, we have an awful lot to catch up on tonight.
Lot to catch up on, and but didn't stop you getting some football in.
If you could call it football, John, it was quite dire.
Are you saying the standard in Scotland's worse than the League of Ireland, Kieran?
We've often had debates on this show about how people perceive the League of Ireland, and we often compare it to a league like Scotland. Mm-hmm. Went to watch two Premiership sides in Scotland in the League Cup, Aberdeen against Hibs at Easter Road. It was actually a very entertaining game, but the standard of football was terrible. It was just all direct, and you're always as likely to see a mistake as you were a bit of brilliance. So you couldn't take your eyes off. It went all the way to penalties, and Aberdeen ran out 7-6 winners on penalties, and Chris Forrester, former St. Pat's man, actually stuck one of them away. So interesting to watch that, and a great atmosphere as well. But went to watch Scottish Championship then at the weekend.
Not quite the same.
No, Alloa against Falkirk. So it was a bottom of the table clash. Neither team had a win this season. So I thought I might get lucky and get maybe a 5-4 game here or a 4-3. Falkirk ran out 2-0 winners. But I have to say it was, without a shadow of a doubt, the worst game of football I've ever had to sit through. And it was £17 into a ground that, you know, a lot of League of Ireland grounds were of a higher...
Rubbish. Yeah, look, you know, that's... A, it's poor because it's 17 quid in, you know, and then you've got your steak pie and your bovril on top. That's for an expensive experience.
That made up for slightly. The bovril was only, I think, £1.50, so that was decent. But
and you've seen a lot of First Division League of Ireland, so, and you've seen that's the worst match.
I tweeted it after that. Yeah. I've been to a lot of First Division games this season, and not one of them was as bad as what I sat through.
Wow. Okay, so look, that's a good point for the League of Ireland anyway.
Yeah, so, I mean, Championship sides are obviously in the Iron Brew Cup, John, so I can't see a reason why an Irish side, I mean, looking at the other results in that league at the weekend, like Dundee United would be probably considered one of the bigger clubs in that league. They got trounced 5-1, so...
Well, look, we're speaking about the Iron Brew Cup to one of our guests later on the show, Raf Cataro we have on.
Yeah, we have Raf on to celebrate the 90-year anniversary of Sligo Rovers this weekend. We'll be announcing a little bit about what's going on down in Sligo, some great events taking place, and... every Sligo Rovers player that's ever played for the first team has been invited to the showgrounds free of charge, and they can bring a partner with them. So you'd be hoping that there'll be a massive crowd out to celebrate what is a fantastic football club. Our two other guests tonight as well, we're previewing the First Division playoffs. So we have Kevin Doherty, the former Shells boss, and Drogheda United number 2. Of course, it's Shells against Drogheda in the playoffs. And Dave Sully, fresh off the back of his third career golden boot, the Shelburne striker, joins us on the show. We'll be moving on now, John, to speak about the Cup semi-final and all the controversy that brought. But just before we do that, there was obviously a league game, a very important one at Oriel Park. Dundalk ran out 3-2 winners and basically secured the title in the process.
Yeah, so I think Dundalk knew if they just needed to win one more match, and I think the league was theirs. And really now Cork needs to come back from... And congratulate Dundalk at this stage on winning the league, we'll
probably officially congratulate them on next week's show. I think they'll probably get the job done against Hats at what should be an absolutely packed out and bouncing Oriel Park on Friday. I know I'm going up there to experience it, so it should be a great occasion, but this game basically secured the title.
I questioned the marking for the first goal when McAniff brought down McGrath, and Cleary had headed home from the free kick, but there was nobody near him.
Thumping header.
Yeah, great header.
And a great cross as well.
Yeah. And Duffy, he pulled back to McElhaney. Lovely goal.
How good was Duffy on the night?
Yeah, Duffy was excellent. And McElhaney, he's just starting to show the form that he used to have, hasn't he?
Yeah, it might take him a few more games just to fully get going, and then we'll probably see the best of him next season. But it's great to have him back in the league, John. Just such a fantastic player to watch.
Oh, yes. I always enjoy seeing these midfield
players. He's nearly worth the admission alone.
He is, yeah, which makes me wonder why he just didn't succeed over in England. You know, he was at quite a low level as well, I have to say.
He didn't speak very well about the experience at Oldham, so just a situation where the club hasn't suited him, he hasn't settled well. But I'd rather pay £15 or euros to watch McElhaney than pay £17 to watch Alloa again. Anyway,
you're still bitter about that.
I'll be bitter for years.
Listen, Hoban got the third when he killed a nice shot into the far corner, and we thought that was it. Game over, 3-0. But there was an own goal after Dylan Connolly was dispossessed. Cannoned off Jarvis to make it 3-1.
Yeah, when I heard Jarvis had scored the own goal, I had a bit of a chuckle in myself. I said he must have forgot that he's no longer with Derry, but he could do absolutely nothing about that. Just a bad bit of luck. Couldn't sort his feet out quick enough, unfortunately.
And then near the end, Ben Fisk, he sprung the offside trap and rounded Rodgers to make it 3-2, but just a little bit too late at that stage.
Yeah, we had Ben on the show recently before the League Cup final, and he spoke about how he was hoping success in that competition might put him back on the radar of the Canadian national team.
Good finish.
He had a good performance in the final, and to go and score against Dundalk then, I'm sure it will be noticed. So it'd be great if he could get a call up again. But as you said, Dundalk now are well on their way to the title.
Yeah, 12 points ahead of Cork, 4 left, 25 goal difference. So
just on that final goal from Dundalk by Hooban, he's a player you'd associate with hold-up play, with headers from inside the box, bullying centre-halves. But that was a great piece of skill. Spun his two defenders, curled it into the bottom corner. I really cannot understand, John, why he has not got an Ireland call-up.
I knew this would come in. I honestly did, because he just looks like he should be in an Ireland shirt, doesn't he? When you think what you've got. I mean,
when you think of the style Martin O'Neill plays.
Yeah. But you know damn well he's got to go back to Shane Long. No goals in God knows how long.
We're just trying to lick up the Hooven now after Johnny Ward on League of Ireland Weekly and his comments.
That's right, yeah. So, you always get the better comments here on Between the Stripes, don't we?
Yeah, that's it. We'll move along now, John, to some real controversy. We'll start with the game at Dalymount Park. Bowes 1, Cork 1. Do you want to run us through it, and then we'll have it out over
this
decision.
Do you know the first thing I have to say? I love that Bose kit.
Yeah,
it's like almost like an old Crystal Palace kit, isn't it? Yeah, it's lovely.
I think it was brought out especially for the cup, that kit. So
yeah,
it's nice.
Yeah. Devaney smashed the post from distance, and that would have been some goal early on.
Yeah, he has that in his locker.
Yeah, super shot. And Corcoran drew a good save from McNulty, who we've criticised recently, haven't we?
So. Had a good game.
He did indeed, yeah. But it was the Devaney cross that led to the opening goal when Corcoran was the beneficiary of a tap-in to make it 1-0.
Very good build-up player from Bowes, though, and they played the better football on the night.
Yeah. Surprised that Cummins didn't start, and when he was brought on a sub, he headed at Supple when,
it was a big
chance.
Talking point, Cummins not starting the game. But, you know, we've heard rumours of rifts down there between players like McNamee, and obviously Josh Hanlon's been left out of a couple of squads there, so you just don't really know what's going on down there at Cork at the moment. But it was a strange decision from John Caulfield.
So anyway, time's running out in this match. It's 1-0 to Bowes. The big controversy.
Do you want my opinion on it?
Well, you see, I've claimed conspiracy theories and all sorts online. And
I've been following your Twitter. It's been quite entertaining. Yeah.
Well, I do like to entertain. You know, when I get a chance to get on Twitter, because I'm a busy man. But massive controversy. Was it a penalty?
No.
Or wasn't it?
No, not a penalty. No. Wins the ball. I mean, as Alan Cawley said, if a defender can't go for the ball there, you know, if he stands out of the way and lets the Cork player shoot and they score, there's uproar. He has to go and challenge for the ball. He wins the ball. The Cork player actually makes contact with him then. You could have argued it would be a free out. But it wasn't a penalty, John.
No,
not a chance.
I didn't think it was a penalty. It just... And 1-1, that was... I mean, sadly, he's not going to miss the penalty. I think he's missed one this season, hasn't he?
No, he's got his goals in the cup anyway, that's for sure. But it's interesting that we found two people at long last actually agree on this, because most shows and TV shows, Shock Republic, etc., it's been split, and they did a poll on Twitter and almost 2,000 people voted in it, and it was split 50-50.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
But do you know what it has done is it's given us a talking point, hasn't it? And it's been great to see all the coverage online, and I've never seen so many tweets League of Ireland related.
That's no good to Bowes fans, though, is it?
No, it's not. I feel sorry for Bowes.
I really do. Great crowd, great atmosphere.
But look, Bowes could go down there and win. They're playing well away from home. You're shaking your head.
No, I just... Do you ever, I know you probably don't watch a lot of Gaelic football like myself, but you often see it where the big team go and they draw the first game and the small team then get battered in the replay. Now, I don't think by any stretch of the imagination Cork will batter them. I think it'll probably be a goal, if not extra time and penalties, that decides it. But I just feel with the home advantage now, Cork are going to go and get that final that everyone is dreading.
Yeah, I know. But Bowes are in such good form.
Yeah.
They're in such good form.
We need to speak about this now.
Yeah.
They're going to be without two players through suspension.
Okay.
Why could they not be suspended for Friday night's game in the league? It's ridiculous. The suspension system in this league is just ridiculous.
Okay, right. Who's suspended?
I can't remember.
Excellent player.
It's two first team players.
You don't get this on League of Ireland Weekly.
No. Two first team players, they're suspended. They were booked in that cup game.
Okay.
But there's a game coming up Friday night in the league. Yeah. Boz are playing. Why can they not be suspended for that? Why does it have to carry over to next Monday?
I don't know, Kieran. That's really strange.
Because it's the FAI and it's just their system is stupid. Yeah. It should be the next game.
Right. Yeah, for domestic, yeah. I can understand in Europe it's completely separate, you know, like...
I mean, I was speaking to a League of Ireland manager yesterday.
Yeah.
I won't say who, and we were actually speaking about their game at the weekend, and I asked him, did he know who was suspended or who was injured? He said he wouldn't know until the suspension list comes out. Now, I get that usually on a Thursday evening. Now, it came out today on a Wednesday afternoon. But it's absolutely ridiculous that the players and the coaches have to wait themselves until that comes out to know 100% definite who's suspended and who's not. The system is so backwards, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, that is poor, isn't it? So, yeah, crazy. And those lads are going to miss a massive match.
Yeah, so I do think Cork will just they'll just nip it in the replay.
So that's Cork in the final to be joined by Dundalk.
Yeah. Before we praise Dundalk obviously getting to another final, we have to mention the effort from UCD here. It was a superb performance.
Yeah, it was a really, really good effort from UCD. They didn't let the league down, and like we had a good chat about UCD last week, and we think they'll be okay.
Yeah, they certainly proved it here.
Yeah, they did really well. You know, I mean, it's very, very tough going to Dundalk, isn't it? They couldn't have got a harder draw, so... No. You know, again, we have to start with a bit of controversy because there was a tackle early on that could have been a red card and it could have been a different match.
What do you think?
Okay, well, most people were saying it should have been a red, didn't they?
Yeah, for me, not a red card. I think the referee's got it right. Now, look, had the referee brought a red card out, you probably could have no arguments. I think it was a silly thing for Cleary to do, but I really don't think he's gone in to hurt the player. And I know there was a couple of commentaries where he was called names and... Or could have been a leg breaker and that, but I really don't think he's gone in to do the player. I think he's just, I couldn't tell you what's gone through his head, but he hasn't gone over the top of the ball, John. He's won the ball. Now, I know that makes no difference. You can win a ball and it can still be a red card. It's all about whether you lunge in, if you're in control. He didn't leave the ground. I think a yellow card was the correct call.
Do you know what I think influenced this a little bit? It was Conor Davis's reaction. He got up, didn't he? He got straight up.
Yeah.
Now, if he'd have done a Neymar and had a good old roll around the pitch in absolute agony...
Mm.
And I think that
well, I actually thought when I watched it live, I said, oh, he could be in trouble here because he has gone in with 2 feet.
Yeah.
And then when you see the reaction of the UCD players and Conor Davis in particular, you're like, oh, the referee definitely could get the red card out here.
Mm.
But I think it was a tough one for the ref to call. I don't think you could bash him for it.
It was tough. And I think if I was in that position, I'd have probably given a yellow because sometimes you see these horror two-footed tackles where they're going over the ball. You know, there's potential to do some serious damage.
Because he actually comes in with his 2 feet almost short of the ball and slides into it, even though it's two-footed, obviously. So 100% it's a yellow card at least. But I don't think it was a red. Tough one for the ref, though.
Tough one indeed. Speaking about the match, Shields smashed a shot wide. Gannon had a bit of a penalty shout. Didn't think there was enough for me.
Penalty for me.
Did you?
Yeah, if you watch it back...
This guy does own a Dundalk top, by the way, folks.
No, but if you actually watch it back, the extra official behind the goal, and I don't know why we have them, because it was obviously him that gave the decision in the Dalymount game, and he's not given this one in the Dundalk game. If you watch him on the replay, he's actually watching the ball. He's not watching the two players.
Mm.
And the UCD defender, his knee makes contact with the back of Sean Gannon. He also had a hand on him as well. So for me, it was definitely a penalty.
Not enough for me, Kieran. Definitely not enough. I don't think so. But
why would he go down? He could have just squared it.
Well, he could have done, yeah. Yeah. I didn't think it was a pen anyway. We'll beg to differ on that.
I suppose from a UCD perspective, you could say they cancelled each other out.
But you know what UCD were guilty of? Letting Paddy McElhaney run at the defence, which is one thing that no team should be doing. Mm-hmm. Because we know he's got a shot from distance. And if you give him space...
But they were actually...
And
they
don't
were sending
close
him
down.
They were sending him towards the corner flag and then he cuts in and It's a genius of a shot, John. If you watch it, it's a chip about a shot at the same time. He's just put his foot under the ball and he guided it into that far corner. Bit of brilliance, bit of magic from McElhaney, but I don't think he can be overly critical from UCD for conceding a goal like that.
I think they could have closed him down earlier, to be honest. Conor Davis was brought down. Gary O'Neill went close from the free kick. He forced a save from Rodgers. That was about as good as it got for UCD, really. Hoban had a couple of chances, but he couldn't make it 2-0. But look... Really good effort from UCD and I was impressed.
Yeah, I think Colly O'Neill even said it himself in his post-match interview that as good as UCD were on the ball, and they were excellent at times. Let's not try and sell them short here. They were excellent on the ball. They didn't really create an awful lot. So even though it was cagey going into that last couple of minutes, Dundalk did look comfortable, and you always fancied them to see it out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it does look like then the Dundalk cork finally is on.
Yeah, well, let's hope not. Great to see RT have, looks like they've reversed their decision, and that replay is going to be shown Monday night, so I'm sure we'll all be gluing ourselves to that and hoping there isn't as much controversy this time round and there's a clear-cut winner.
One bit of news during the week, Buckley sacked, Kieran.
Yeah, I was obviously away when this news broke, but I was surprised. Maybe not surprised in terms of the last couple of seasons, things have gone stale there, and we've had this discussion before whether we think Buckley should stay or go at the end of the season.
Yeah.
But we always felt it would be an end of season job. I'm surprised he's gone with a couple of games left.
Yeah, the timing was a bit strange, I have to say, because there's really nothing left to play for. So I'm not quite sure what they're aiming to do.
And then
it's
strange when you see them tying players down then the contracts this week. Yeah. You're just wondering what direction the club is going.
I'm not so sure that with that, yeah, because obviously they put Joe O'Brien until the end of the season. But there must be somebody who's organising these contracts in the absence of a manager. You'd think when they get a new manager in at the end of the season, he's going to want to put his own style and select his own squad and who's going to be released, who's going to have extended contracts.
Just
so on.
Total speculation, but from an outsider's point of view looking in, you're looking at and you're thinking Joe O'Brien probably will be the manager there next season, but from speaking to Pats fans, a lot of them don't think he really wants that job. Now that could be totally wrong, I'm just speculating here. If that was to be the case, John, who do you feel is the sort of manager St. Pat should be going for?
I'm not so sure, to be honest.
I think if you're to look at the bookmakers' odds, Harry Kenny is the favourite at the moment.
Okay. Well, that would make some sense. He did a decent job at Bray, didn't he?
You had a bit of a laugh at me and said Tony Cousins, and he was linked with that job previously.
Do you know, I remember when Buckley was struggling at the start of the season, this is, what, a couple of seasons ago? Yeah, when Longford were relegated that season. And I was told, absolutely, that if Buckley had a bad start of the season, Tony Cousins was going to be the man to replace him.
He was seen at a couple of Pats games around that time too, so it's interesting, but... Now, I think we all know my views on Tony Cousins. I definitely don't think he'd be the right man for the job, and I don't know how Pats fans would feel about a Rovers man being in charge there. So, look, it's merely speculation. Maybe Joe O'Brien will be the man, and I'm sure he would do a good job. He's obviously been a fantastic player at that club. He's been Liam's assistant there for the last while, and he just has a great connection with the supporters and everything. So, you'd love to see him.
Yeah, I just wonder if what you say about it going a little bit stale, they might just want a change
freshen
from the top down. Yeah.
Well, yeah, an interesting decision there, John. But we'll move along now and we'll preview the playoffs coming up this weekend. Nobody does First Division coverage here like Between the Stripes. And we're going to bring you interviews shortly now with Kevin Doherty from Drogheda, former Shells boss, of course, and David O'Sullivan, the current Shelbourne striker and Golden Boot winner this year. How do you see this one going?
Right, well, this is going to be tight, Kieran, for a start.
It's in Drogheda, the first leg.
Yeah, now, I've fancied Shells for a while.
You tipped them for the title at the start of the year.
I did indeed, and I think... I think they're going to win this one. I think they're going to beat Drogheda. Not so sure about the first leg. Might go there and get a draw, but I do think Shells will come out of this two legs. I just think they've a bit too much, especially with the signings that they've made, although have they really clicked that much so far?
The goals dried up there at the end of the season, but then from a Drogheda point of view, their form was quite poor going up into that big game against Longford, but then they obviously win that game against Longford. They go down to Cove and win quite comfortably. So they're looking now to go and get three in a row, but then last weekend Shells have gone and won the Leinster Senior Cup, so both sides now have generated momentum out of nowhere, really. But as you said, the goals did dry up there for the likes of O'Sullivan. Obviously Moore and Kavanagh had great starts making their debut against Longford that time, and the 6-1 speaks for itself. But I think the first leg could be quite cagey, and it'll go down to the second leg, and with Shells having home advantage, you probably fancy them.
I would go with Shells, and Drogheda, Tim Clancy suspended as well.
And Dave Robertson, so Kevin Doherty will continue, and it's a nice little subplot there considering he was a former manager of Shells. As well as that, then off the field, the clubs both look to be going in the right direction after some very, very dark years. Drogheda, a new stadium on the way. Could they get promoted? Because I'm sure they're probably sick of Dundalk taking all the claim in County Louth. And then Shells obviously have had fresh investment, bringing in players like Kavanagh, like Moore, has been really unexpected there, but it's great to see Shells doing so well, and you'd like to see big crowds turning out
I think a good Shells team in the Premier Division would be great for the league, I have to say.
Look, we can try and pick our way through that all night.
Tell you what, though, they've a long way to go, though. This is the first match of six.
Yeah.
You know, that. So there is a hell of a long way for them to go.
It's a quick turnaround on this as well. First leg Friday, second leg Monday. Then you're into the next round of it. So it is tough.
There's no respite for these small squads.
And that's why I can't see a first division team going all the way. But look, we'll bring you interviews now. First, you'll hear from the Drogheda number 2, Kevin Doherty, and then you will hear from Shelburne striker David O'Sullivan. Okay, folks, so the first leg of the First Division playoffs comes this Friday in United Park. Drogheda United, they squeezed into that final playoff place ahead of Longford Town, and they will be taking on Shelburne in the first stage of the playoffs. And I'm delighted to say we're joined online now by the assistant manager at Drogheda United. It's Kevin Doherty. Kevin, welcome back to the show.
How are you, Kieran? How's things?
So, Kevin, of course, you're the assistant manager, but you've had to take a much bigger role in the last couple of weeks. Tim Clancy suspended, Dave Robertson suspended. So you're the man in the dugout for these big playoff games coming up. Has that affected the setup much at Drogheda?
No, not really. I haven't really taken a much bigger role. I mean, myself and Tim would do a lot together anyway, and it's still Tim's team. Like, you know, he still does the team talk. He's still training during the week. We do everything together. And look, we said we're very much a partnership. Obviously, Tim is in charge, and whatever Tim says goes. But it hasn't affected too much. The only thing is obviously during the games, there's no communication allowed or anything. So, But look, lucky enough, I've managed for a good 2 years in the league myself. So I'd be fairly comfortable with it anyway, you know.
Yeah, and of course, you had management experience with Shelburne, and that's who you take on in these First Division playoffs. Is that going to be a strange feeling for yourself?
Not really, no. I've been back to Shelburne plenty of times now over the last couple of years with Longford and obviously this year with Drogheda. So, look, it might be a bit different when I'm down on the touchline. But look, as I said, it's similar whether I'm sitting down beside him or whether I'm standing up, whatever, getting out instructions or whatever, it's fairly okay. Look, it's obviously it's a club that I have great connection with. I played with for most of my career as well as coaching and managing there. So I'll be very comfortable with. Like, I'll be hopefully going there and looking to win.
Of course, these are such high pressure games and high pressure situations, and hopefully there's going to be a great turnout of both these legs between the two clubs. But I suppose going into this draw, I've already had that type of experience. That game against Longford Town a couple of weeks ago essentially was a decider for the playoffs. So are you hoping that experience can be used going into this game against Shells?
Yeah, definitely. Because as you say, at the time it was, Longford had actually just gone ahead of us, I think probably for the first time this season, just before it. So it was do or die for us. We had to go and win it. Even a draw probably would have, even though there was the game afterwards, which we ended up winning in Cove, and Longford draw points against UCD. We sort of knew we had to go and beat Longford that night. And we prepared for it was like a cup final, like or a proper cup tie, because as you say, we knew we had to win to give ourselves that chance, and lucky enough we did, and hopefully, as you said, even that bit of atmosphere and that sort of the way it was sort of do or die will hopefully stand us in good stead going into these couple of games against Shells.
Yeah, and it's quite unique, these First Division playoffs, because obviously with the First Division, the way it's set up, there isn't ever really midweek games, so you usually always get a week's break unless obviously you have cup action in between. Whereas this is a Friday-Monday turnaround. How is that going to affect both sets of teams?
Well, it's the fact that we're both part-time, it should affect us both equally. Like, so, look, we'll play on Friday and we'll come in at the weekend. Like, we would do that sometimes anyway. Sometimes we'd be off for the weekend, other times we'd be in. As you say, there's been League Cup games, there's been Leinster Cup games on Mondays and Tuesdays as well. So we have had to alter things during the season anyway. So, look, it's a quick turnaround for part-time players that will be in work on Friday, play, and then probably some of them will be in work at the weekend as well, and then be in work on Monday. So it is something that you have to think about. Obviously, you won't be in doing an awful lot of physical work over the weekend, particularly after the game on Friday. We know it's going to be a really physical challenge for the lads, because every game we played against Shells this year has been really, really tight. They've been, like I said, we've drawn with them twice and we've beat them once in the 90th minute. So we know that come Saturday morning there'll probably be a lot of sore bodies, but it's the same for both camps. I'm sure they'll be thinking the same thing. So we'll get the lads in over the weekend and prepare for Monday. And look, by going on off the first game, you'll have to see what you're looking to do then in the second leg, whether you're ahead, whether you're behind, whether it's all square. Like, so look, it's exciting times and it's something we're very much looking forward to. And as I said, even it'll be no problem getting the lads in at the weekend, because everyone's buzzing and looking forward to it.
And how are the bones of the squad looking? Can you give us any team news?
I can't give any team news. Paul probably listens to this, but look, everyone's fit and available, so we have a more or less a full squad to choose from. So that's good news for us. They'll obviously have a no game last week. There was a couple of lads that missed a bit of training because they had picked up knocks against Longford and against Cove. So it gave us the week to nurse those lads through. A couple of them didn't train for a couple of sessions. But everyone, we had a full squad training last night. So we're in good health, and as I said, we're looking forward to it.
From a neutral's point of view, bar the cup final and the big events, I always really look forward to the playoffs. I have to say, I just think it's such drama and excitement and high-pressure situations. But is it unfair on the First Division teams, like a team for Drogheda or even Shelburne, they're going to have to potentially play six games to get promoted. Do you feel it's unfairly balanced?
It is tough. I know probably a lot of people criticised the FAI last year for the way it was going, and rightly so, because just one team going up was... Look, it killed the league, basically, when Waterford were going to win it, So, to keep as many teams involved in it, I suppose, the second, third and fourth, they probably had to do it this way. It is a serious task for any team, whoever it is, to come through. It's more like, it's sort of like having a two-legged quarter-final, two-legged semi-final and two-legged final, which is tough on whether it be us, Shells, Finn Harps, and obviously, at the moment, it's looking like Limerick. Limerick, obviously, will have the advantage that they're already in that final, if you want to call it that. So if it is Limerick, but as I said, it is looking like it probably will be. Finn Harps obviously have to play a game less than either ourselves or Shell, but look, they finished second in the league, so there has to be some sort of reward for that as well, I suppose.
Yeah, I know your answer to this is going to be that Drogheda, there was no expectations on reaching the playoffs this season, and you feel that you've exceeded your expectations, because I've spoken to yourself and Tim here on the show quite a bit this season. But is there a slight disappointment that maybe you didn't get that second place, considering you were probably one of the main challengers to UCD for most of the season?
I'll go back to the answer, but there was no expectation. But we were there for a while. We were in the playoff positions, I think, bar one week out of the whole season. 26 of the 27 fixtures, we were in the playoff position. So during the season, obviously, we were thinking, look, even though it wasn't in the immediate plan that we had to be in the playoffs, so we were definitely going to be in the playoffs within the group ourselves, and certainly myself and Tim, we certainly, as we look at the table every week and we're in the playoff position, to start to think we probably should finish in them. So, as I said, it was probably a private expectation, maybe, because we were there so long. But I certainly wouldn't be disappointed if we didn't finish second again. We finished ahead of teams with much bigger budgets than us and much more expectations. So it's certainly something that we're happy with. But look, now that we're there, we want to give it a right go. So hopefully, as I said, it all starts on Friday. But as you said, there wasn't a massive expectation, but we certainly feel that we deserve to be in there, and hopefully we can push on.
Yeah, and obviously there was great news recently regarding a new stadium for Drogheda, and then just over the road you have Dundalk doing what they're doing at the moment. This must be a great time to be involved in football in County Louth.
Yeah, well, look, I don't have much involvement in the Dundalk side. They're obviously flying, but from our own point of view, yeah, the stadium news is very exciting, and it's something that is probably long overdue. Pitching all is perfect in Drogheda, but obviously people know that the ground could do with a bit of upgrading, but obviously we're going to move ground now, which is even better to have a new stadium. But how soon it happens, I don't know. I'm not really involved in any of that side of it, but it's exciting, and it was good news when it came out, and you would like to think that it does give the whole county and surrounding areas, like a lot of supporters would come in from Meath and places like Navan and stuff, so you would like to think that it'll be something to look forward to. Hopefully we can keep building and keep building for when the time actually comes that we'll be in a really strong position when we do get to the ground.
Kevin, it's been great having you on, but before you go, we're asking all of our guests tonight the big controversial penalty decision at the weekend. What's your views on it? Penalty or no penalty?
Penalty.
Penalty?
Penalty, yeah. believe me, I've had plenty of discussions. I was actually watching the game with Alan Cawley. We were having dinner, and we were sitting there, and immediately I was like, penalty straight away. And I know you've probably seen, he was on Soccer Republic last night. He was saying it's not a penalty. So we've had plenty of discussions. Even within our training last night, it's funny. I very rarely seen a decision so evenly split amongst people that generally would agree on a lot of stuff and football matters, and a lot of people that you would think know the game are completely at odds. And there's probably two opposing views to it. But as I said, my initial reaction straight away was penalty, and I haven't, even with the arguments of some friends of mine and colleagues, I don't think it was like, it wasn't a horrendous challenge or anything like that, but I think that if you're looking at the laws of the game, it was probably careless. I think that's the bracket it fell under, and if it's careless, it's a foul, and if it's a foul in the box, it's a penalty. So that's sort of the way I look at it. I think it's you'd be disappointed obviously if it was given against you, because you're obviously hoping that it wouldn't, but as I said, my initial reaction was penalty, and I think I'll stick with it.
I think it's one that could run all day, Kevin, but it's been a pleasure having you on. Thanks very much for joining us, and best wishes with that huge first leg on Friday night.
No problem, Kieran, you're welcome.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flomax. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flomax.ie.
Okay, folks, so we're continuing our playoff coverage now. I am delighted to say I'm joined on the line by the Golden Boot winner this season in the First Division. It's, of course, Shell striker Davey O'Sullivan. Davey, welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
Thanks for having me, Kieran.
So, Davey, first of all, as I mentioned there, Golden Boot, 15 league goals this season. You must be delighted. That's your third one now.
Yeah, it's always nice to pick up the Golden Boot. And to be honest, I thought I was going to get pipped there at the end. You know, it was a bit of a lower tally than what won it for me before. And I suppose a lot of my goals, the bulk of them came in the first half of the season. So I thought someone was going to catch me come the end. But look, it's always nice to get that, and it's another kind of personal achievement that it was one of my targets at the start of the year, so always nice to get it, so thanks very much.
Yeah, as you mentioned there, it's a tally 15 goals, which is a lot lower than previously what we've seen with Longford. I think it was 23 and 28, I might be right in saying, your previous Golden Boot tallies. What did you put down that second half of the season to? The goals seemed to dry up just slightly.
They did indeed, yeah. I suppose it's a combination of teams, you know, when you play each other three times, teams all know each other and cancel each other out. And then as well, I suppose I had a bit of a good start to the season. And then, yeah, it just didn't happen for me really. Second half of the season, I maybe got a bit tired, and that could be the old age kicking in. But look, hopefully it's great to get it in the end, and hopefully be able to kick on now with the playoffs coming up. So hard to know exactly what it was down to, but look, happy to win it in the end.
Yeah, and another personal achievement during the week as well, you were a part of the team that collected the Leinster Senior Cup. That's obviously a trophy you hadn't won previously with Longford, so it's been a good week, I suppose.
Absolutely, yeah. It's been a great week leading up to the playoffs. It couldn't have went any better, to be honest. It's always nice to win a trophy and to be involved in it as well. I was involved in the first round up in Athlone as well. I played that game, and then to come on an extra time the other night and be able to hit a pen on that, made it all the sweeter being involved. But if it wasn't for our keeper Lee Stacey, now it could have been a lot different. He put in a man of the match performance, and he was unbelievable the other night. So and the lads were great as well. So no, you know, the last trophy I've won was with yourselves at Longford in 2014 when we won the league. So I had forgot what the feeling was like, to be honest, of winning anything. So it was nice the other night.
Yeah, and obviously great to win a trophy, but it really does come down to these playoff games now, doesn't it? Such high-pressure situations. Are you looking forward to it? Obviously, you had the experience with Longford in 2013. It was a great run for the town up until that final game against Bray, a game that was decided very, very late on. So I suppose you've had the highs and the lows of the playoffs.
Yeah, and hopefully, look, that experience might stand to us come Friday night and Monday night as well. But all in all, we're really looking forward to it. We trained well last night. We'll go in again tomorrow and then be ready for Friday, and then be in recovery over the weekend and go again Monday. And look, hopefully, you know, just get through it. And we know we're up against it. We've had three very, very tough games against Drogheda in the league this year. Two draws, and then they beat us 1-0 in Tolka in the last minute. So we know we're going to have to be at our best. Really, really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say, given the way the playoff system is structured, most people are making Harps favourites to go up, considering they'll have one less series of games to play. But outside of that, I suppose Shells have been in decent form all season, have been in around them playoff positions. So is there expectation now on the group going into these games?
I don't think so, really. I suppose we've been in around the mix all season. I know Drogheda were up there, they were up in second, and they've kind of fallen a bit. And to be fair to Finn Harps, the momentum is all with them at the moment. They've been absolutely flying. They've been putting in some serious results. But look, we can just take it game by game. If we get through this, then we can rest up and go for Finn Harps. But yeah, it's very hard for anyone. The structure of it, it's very hard for a first division club to go up, really.
Do you feel it's unfair?
I wouldn't. It's just very hard. I'm not going to say it's unfair, but definitely very hard for a first division team to go up. Especially coming up against, I'm not sure who it's going to be, Limerick or Sligo maybe, the Premier Division now. But look, we just have to look at Drogheda first and then take from there.
Yeah, and as you've mentioned there, with the first division, obviously you played each other three times and then there can be cup meetings as well, and now you're going to have two legs against a very familiar opposition. So are we likely to see maybe a cagey game?
I think so. Certainly on Friday night, I'd imagine it'll be cagey and very tight. And then Monday, maybe it'll open up a bit more. But judging, I can only go off the three games that I played in this year, and they were all in the league, and they were all very cagey, very tight games. Both teams, particularly us and Drogheda, seem to cancel each other out and the way we play and the players that we have. So it's going to be definitely going to be tight, but it's exciting and it's entertaining for the fans and for anyone who follows the league. And so, look, it should be a good set of games.
Yeah, and it's an interesting tie, this one, between Shells and Drogheda, because obviously you have the new investment that's come in at Shells, and there seems to be a bit of resurgence there off the field in terms of the support and the atmosphere around the club. And then at Drogheda, obviously, the news this year about the new stadium on the way in the next couple of years. So, to put it simply, this is an absolutely massive game for both clubs.
It certainly is, yeah. The near future, I suppose, of both clubs depends fairly highly on these playoffs, and as you say, both teams are getting, you know, investments and stuff like that, and they have things coming down the line. So yeah, absolutely massive. And yeah, the further now we get into the week, the more excited, and hopefully there'll be a bit of build up to it, and hopefully the crowds will be good. And yeah, really looking forward to it.
Yeah, and I suppose a sign of that investment of Shells has been some of the players that have recently come into the club there. I'm thinking of Paddy Kavanagh, of Karen Moore, of Greg Morehouse. Have you enjoyed playing with those new players? Because I think it's fair to say they're probably Premier Division standard players.
Yeah, absolutely. The lads have been brilliant since they came in. Paddy and Carl kind of went straight into the team, and they've stayed there, really. You know, they are Premier Division quality, and you can see it even in training and that. And Greg, then, he's come in and he's been brilliant as well. He was kind of in and out at the start, but he's kind of getting in now, more so, and his work rate is phenomenal. And then the other lads, they're very good. They've been a great addition to the squad, and look, hopefully they help us through the playoffs.
And how important is that competition for places?
It's always important, that is. You know, you can never, it's never good getting too complacent anywhere. Because then you don't train as hard, or you don't look after yourself as well, maybe. So I feel that it's very important myself. And I think it's great since Greg has come in. There's been a lot of competition between the two of us. So it's been great.
Finally, David, we're asking all of our guests tonight. I'm sure you've seen the penalty incident in the Cup semi-final. What was your take on it, penalty or no penalty?
I have indeed. I think it was a harsh decision, to be honest. It's a tough one. I know there's been a lot of debate about it, but I was watching the game myself, and I did feel it was harsh at the time, and I'm sticking with that decision. But sure, look, it's not going to change. We'll see what happens in the replay.
Yeah, I think I'd have to agree with you on that one. Davey, pleasure having you on. Yeah. Thanks very much for joining us, and once again, congrats on that golden boot, and best wishes for these playoff games coming up.
Spot on. Thanks very much for having me, Ciarán.
Cheers, Davey.
Enjoying the show so far? Why not leave us a review on iTunes? Want something featured on next week's show? Get in touch via Twitter at Between Stripes, or find us on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Finally, our new website address is www.betweenthestripes.ie. Enjoy the second half.
Okay, John, so that was some great coverage there for this weekend's playoff games. And as I said, I think we've done the first of it in justice with our coverage this year, and we're hoping if we get time on tonight's show to do a report card for all the First Division teams this season, considering that division concluded last weekend while we were away. But let's move on now to the Premier Division. It's time for our St. Mel's Brewery prediction game. You're 10-2 up, so I'm going to do a slight tweak on it this week.
Hang on, Kieran. You're changing the rules just because you're getting thrashed.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly gross. What I'm doing. Yeah. So Dylan played last week in my place, or 2 weekends ago, I should say, and it was close.
As well.
Yeah, it was close, but yeah. You didn't nab him with that prediction for Bowes to beat Pats and for Dundalk to beat Cork. So you're 10-2 up, but what we'll do this week, I want a goal scorer in every game.
Okay, fair enough, Kieran.
But we'll give our predictions as well as we go. So let's start with that big game at Oriel Park. Dundalk, all they need is a point now to lift the Premier Division title for the fourth time in 5 years, and St. Pat's are the visitors.
And I believe they will be wrapping up the title in that fixture, Kieran. I can see Dundalk winning this one
comfortably,
and a big night of celebration.
Pat's back four, just Pat's overall, their team just looks a bit weak this season, doesn't it? A bit flaky.
You like that flaky word. I was just going to say, I knew that was coming out. But look, they haven't too much to play for, neither have they. And
Gerald Bryan, if he's stepped in there, look, we don't know whether he intends to take that job or not. If he does, I'm sure he's going to want to put a good performance in. Even if he doesn't intend to take it, he's not going to want to let his club down, a man that's very passionate about St. Pat's. And he might have some different ideas, and he could surprise us all in Oriel Park. But with that huge home crowd that's going to turn out, with the atmosphere, and with the momentum Dundalk have at the moment, it's very, very hard to see anything other than a Dundalk win.
I agree.
I'm going to go for Hooban. That's quite an obvious one.
Oh, are you really? Yeah. Right, okay. So you're basically getting first go. And
I wrote my predictions down earlier before the show started.
Okay.
So.
Well, I'll go with Duffy. He's been on decent form this season, so I think he might cut inside and lash one home.
Lovely. Right, moving along. Bowes hosting Waterford.
It's going to be interesting. Interesting as to what team Bowes put out, because they put a very youthful side out last time.
Against Pats.
And they were excellent. Mm.
Waterford have more to play for in terms of the league. Obviously, they're still chasing that European spot. Bowes, there's nothing to play for in the league. They are safe. They will have all focus on that game Monday night. You would expect a Waterford win.
You would, but like I say, that Bowes Young team is decent.
Waterford have let their fans down a couple of times this season in games where you would have expected more. I'm thinking of that game against UCD in the Cup. They've slipped up the odd time in this chase for Europe and let Rovers back in.
Yeah.
So you would be very disappointed from a Waterford point of view if they were to let this slip against Bowes when they'll clearly have their eyes elsewhere. So I'm going to go for a Waterford win, but there's definitely big pressure on them and expectation to get the job done here. In terms of a goal scorer, I'm going to go for Bastian Heary.
Yeah, well, he's more a playmaker, isn't he? He does score the odd one, but I'll go with a man in form, Noel Hunt.
Just such a historic ground, Daily Mail. I just have visions of Heary banging one in from about 30 yards out.
Yeah, I can see it, all right. But it might be their second goal.
Oh, yeah, well, that is true. Yeah. These aren't first goal scorer predictions going forward. We're just going for any goal scorer. But if Hunt gets their first...
He changes the rules again.
If Hunt gets their first, I'll give it to you.
Right, okay, go on.
Right, okay, Rovers against Cork. Again, you're going to be suspecting that Cork will have their eyes off the ball here. You've got to fancy Rovers.
Yeah, I think Rovers will get something here. They're in this battle with Waterford, aren't they, for Europe?
Just like Waterford, where their fans are going to be expecting a lot going up to Daly Mount. That's 10 times amplified for Rovers that are going to be playing at home. And they've got a couple of results against Cork in recent years, so there's form there.
I just clarify with the European chase, with the only way it can not go to fourth place is if Bowes win it then, isn't it? The cup.
Yeah, okay.
So it looks like Waterford and Rovers will qualify for Europe, but they'll want to make sure of it, won't they, Rovers?
There's still all this talk about Waterford, whether they'll be eligible for that. We still don't know.
I think that's a nonsense. I think it is,
I think they'll get it, but...
Yeah.
Prediction?
Rovers against Cork. I think it will be a draw, Kieran.
A draw, okay. Yeah. Right, I go for a Rovers win, and I'm going for Aaron Green to score.
Okay, I'm going for... Well, what am I going to go for? Brandon Mealy, free kick.
Okay, you're going for the long range on this one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Limerick against Derry.
Okay, well, Limerick are dead and buried into those playoffs. Derry have certainly missed Europe this season. They're not going to get the positions to get into Europe, so I expect this one to have a real end of season feel about it, don't you?
You'd still like to think Derry can go to Limerick and win.
Oh, well, you would do, yeah.
I mean Limerick have really taken some pastings recently.
They have, yeah. I'll go for a Derry win, but I don't think it'll be a big margin.
When you look at a situation like St. Pat's, where things appear to have gone stale, obviously Derry have won the League Cup recently, but their league campaign has been quite disappointing. Is there pressure there on Kenny Shields?
Well, there is, yeah. And, you know, we've talked about the defence all season. Mm. He's no clearer to fixing that than he was at the start of the season.
But, I mean, he keeps coming out. It's very like Jose Mourinho. He keeps coming out and giving out about his defence in the media. How is that going to improve the players he has at the moment?
He can't sign a Pogba or anything, neither.
Is he trying to send a message to the board there that I need more money for next season?
Well, I think we know he's not going to get too much more money for next season. We know how the situation is regarding cash flow in Derry
there. I think Kenny Shields is putting a lot of pressure on himself with a lot of the comments he's making in the media.
Mm.
And I know recently he made some claims there, and I put a poll up on our Between the Stripes Twitter account, at Between Stripes, if you want to give it a follow. I put up a vote, Shields in, Shields out, quite simple. Yeah. And the majority were Shields out.
Right,
And it was Derry fans that were voting in it, because they were leaving comments as well why they felt that way, and a lot of them were saying they were very frustrated by a lot of his comments in the media.
Yeah, and I would just wonder, another manager, would they, you know, be able to bring in better defenders? Because we talk about the cash flow situation, the fact that they may have to let the higher, you know, the better players go. It happens all the time, doesn't it there?
And I think that's what will happen in the off-season too,
and it's where they can recruit from. It's a difficult area to recruit players.
It is, and Kenny Shields has said that on this very show.
He was very honest with us in that.
Honest and a lovely man, don't get me wrong. Don't want to seem like I'm coming on here and slating him. He's done a great job in years gone by, but just feel like it's been a disappointing season in the league.
It has been disappointing, yeah. But my question is anybody else going to come in and do any better?
Mm. Like, you don't want things to go stale there, because they've got the new stadium, they've won the League Cup, you'd really love to see them push
and
on.
It's a great hotbed for football as
well. Exactly. Pats, they tried to stick with Buckley, it went stale. I'm even looking at Sligo, they've stuck with Gerry Little this season, they haven't kicked on either. So it's a very difficult decision for clubs to make.
Yeah, and you could argue for a lot of managers going at the end of the season. Mm. It's really tough, but you know,
there's only a small pool of managers to select from in Ireland. A lot of them have been around the block, so you can see why clubs are reluctant to often dip their toes into that pool. But then you look at someone like Neil Fenn at Longford and the job he's done.
Yeah.
So it's a tough one for clubs. It really is.
It is, yeah. Going back to the match, Kieran, do you think a Derry win then?
Yeah, Derry win, and I'm going to go for an Ali Roy goal.
Ali Roy, okay, yeah, man in form. I'm going to do a sneaky one here. I'm going to go for Derry and Mr. Hale to score.
Since I've tweaked the route so much, I'm going to let you have that one.
So I've got a double up offer.
Sligo against Bray then is the final game in the Premier.
Okay, well, it should be an absolute party down there, because this is the 90th celebration, so...
Yeah, just for anyone that's listening in the Sligo area, there's been a lot of media coverage this week. The team will be wearing a special edition retro jersey on the night.
Class.
Every former player, as I said earlier on the show, has been invited back to the showgrounds for the game. There's a halftime presentation of every decade of the club's history. Under 12s go free, under 18s half price at €5. Family fun day, free popcorn, mascots, face painting, souvenir match program.
Now, there's no excuse not to get down there in Sligo. Yeah. It sounds fantastic what's been put on there. So... make sure you get yourselves down, enjoy the day, and enjoy the Sligo win.
Yeah, only for the fact, actually, that I'm away Saturday. I would have travelled over that thought myself, so definitely I would appeal to people of Sligo to get out and celebrate what is a fantastic club. They've had a difficult league season this year, John, but you'd like to think they can beat Bray.
I think so, yeah. Sligo, I always see, is a bit of sleeping giants, you know. I remember there seems to be cup specialists and... you know,
it's probably a bit harsh to label them sleeping giants. It's not that long ago that they won the league.
No,
that's why everyone is so disappointed in them, because they just have gone down into a side.
And when you think of the setup there as well, it's a great setup and facilities,
and such fantastic support they get as well.
Mm. Yeah, must be money again. That's issues, and you know, you look at that Sligo side. It's very difficult to see who the superstars are, and they're so reliant on Raf Kotaro, who's been there 300 years.
He's been there for the 90 years, I think. But just you're saying there, obviously, on Sligo, maybe they don't have the same finances to push the top sides. And that's the situation now. I think a lot of clubs are finding themselves in this league. Do they spend that extra few bob and try and push it? And then if things go wrong, they're in a financial situation. Do they just play within their own means, and then they're struggling down the bottom of the table? Maybe support is falling away slightly. So again, it's so difficult.
Mm. So come on, goal scorer. This is your competition that you've changed the rules for. Who are we going for here?
Going for Raf.
Are you? Yeah. Right, okay. Well, I have to go with Mikey Drennan. He's in great form since he's come back.
Yeah, I'm hoping Raf will start. Drennan definitely will. And,
oh, they're bound to start Raf.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, I'd sure so. Well, look. Why don't you ask him?
Yeah, here we go, folks. We're about to be joined on the line now by Sligo Rovers legend, Raf Kotaro. Okay, folks, so Sligo Rovers, a fantastic football club, and they celebrate 90 years this weekend with a big birthday bash. And we're delighted to be joined on the line now by a Sligo Rovers legend and current player, Raf Curtaro. Raf, welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
Thanks for having me on, lads.
So, Raf, just before we speak about the game against Bray, can you tell us a little bit about what's going on this weekend down in Sligo?
Yeah, it's obviously the 90 years the club is in existence. You know, there's a lot of work been done behind the scenes, obviously, to make it a special occasion, obviously, for the current players and for former players.
Yeah, I understand the former players, an open invitation for them to attend the game free of charge.
Yeah, I think that's a fantastic gesture by the club. You know, obviously, any player that has played senior football for the club is eligible to get in free with a partner. So, you know, fantastic gesture, and I think it's a real indication of what the club is trying to do and trying to get a great atmosphere for the 90 years of existence.
Yeah, I suppose it's been a disappointing season in the league for Sligo this year, which is a shame considering it is their 90th anniversary. But obviously there's still a chance there of silverware in the Iron Brew Cup, so we'll discuss that shortly. But in terms of end of season games, sometimes they can be quite drab. But does the fact there's a bit of buzz and occasion around this game, do you think that could help you lads pick up the performance against Bray at the weekend?
Yeah, look, I think we're, you know, without being overconfident, I think, you know, it's a game we know that we need to perform in. Obviously, they had beaten us up there earlier in the year, so we loathe them from that. So, I don't know, it's going to be a great occasion. I think, you know, the big thing is obviously for ourselves as a team is to get a positive result. We'll be doing everything in our power to do that. And the other side of it then is obviously the 90 years and the celebrations of that. So if we can do our stuff on the pitch, obviously everybody will enjoy themselves off it then.
Yeah, and looking forward this season, there's still a chance of silverware in your 90th anniversary because they're still going strong in the Iron Brew Cup there, Raf. Have you enjoyed playing in that tournament?
Yeah, it's you know, it's obviously it takes you away from the domestic side of things, and you know, it's great that you have a chance to win something. You know, any chance of winning silverware obviously is great. You know, we were in a League Cup semi final earlier in the year, and with a home tie to Derry that we were hoping to get into a final, and that just didn't materialise. You know, Gerard Doherty was in outstanding form on the day, and you know we had a couple of chances, including myself, to probably take us in, you know, to a cup final. But look, we're really looking forward to the Iron Brew. The Motherwell tie obviously is the first one, one we'd be going into very, very confident and looking to progress in sense of that. Yeah,
we certainly think that Sligo got a great chance in that competition, because you know, even Kieran was at some Scottish football this week, and he wasn't too impressed with the standards. So even like the under 21 sides and things, he should be more than a match for them. So it'd be great to see one of our teams win that. And what better than Sligo in the 90th year?
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. I think like you said, we had a great battle there. You know, the previous round. You know, we went 1-0 down and showed great character to come back and win the game, you know, by a sizeable margin. You know, obviously Mikey Drennan popping up with a hat-trick, which was great to see also, you know. You know, our centre forward getting three goals and a hat-trick. So, like I said, looking forward now to going to Motherwell and you know, hopefully get a positive result over there. And, you know, the younger lads that are in the squad, it'll be a fantastic experience for them as well.
And Raf, it feels like you've almost been at Sligo forever now. But,
for the 90 years.
Yeah. you must have some great memories. What's probably top of your list, Raf?
Yeah, loads of great memories.
Put you on the spot there, haven't I?
Yeah, no, like loads. Honest to God, from the very first day I stepped into the club to now, where I am coming towards the end of my career, you know, there's a lot more good memories than there is bad ones, put it that way. But, you know, if I was to top it off, I'd probably say that winning the league, obviously, was probably up there with the best, and all the cup wins and that. So, like you said, you know, we've a great chance, obviously, ourselves now to maybe get a bit of silverware, and, you know, it'd be great for the current squad to get a taste of success.
And what's the plans for next season, Raf? Are you going to carry on playing?
Yeah. Definitely going to do another year anyways. Definitely do another year. So, look, like I said, we'll see how things go between now and the end of the season. Hopefully, if I'm chatting to you, that there'll be a lot of positives in it, and we'll take it from there then.
Who knows, we could see you as manager when there's the 100th year celebrations.
Jesus.
Raf, absolute pleasure having you on. Thanks very much for joining us, and enjoy the celebrations this weekend, but I'm sure you need a win to do that, so go out and get the business done on the pitch.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, lads.
Thanks very much, Raf.
Good luck, Raf.
BetweenTheStripes.ie is sponsored by Diaga. Based in Buncrana, County Donegal, Diaga are world leaders in top-class logo and graphic design, website building, film production, illustration, and much more. For further information, please visit Diaga.ie. Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flomax. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flomax.ie.
So that was the St. Melsbury prediction game. John, before we go, we'll, as we promised, let's give our report cards on the First Division teams now that the First Division regular season has come to an end. We'll go by league position and just give our views on it, really. Let's start with the champions, UCD.
Well, you can only really give them top of the class, can't you? Mm-hmm. And so it should be for these students. A+. A++.
A++.
Excellent season for them.
Brilliant brand of football. To lose Georgie Kelly and then to find players like Yo-Yo, Conor Davis has come in there. There's just so many players there you can see going very, very far in football. And it's the UCD tradition, I suppose. They just produce player after player after player. And in Colly O'Neill, I think they have probably the best young manager in the country. I think they'll do themselves credit in the Premier Division next year. But yeah. It's been a fantastic year for UCD.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens to Colly, though, when they lose a few matches on the spin, you know, and he starts to put into her under a bit of pressure.
I don't think he'll ever be under pressure in that job, to be honest.
Okay. Harps, Kieran, well, I suppose the grade all depends on the playoff performances, doesn't it?
Yeah, we'll just look at it from a regular point of view. That's the only thing we can do for now. I've given them an A, John. Had a little bit of an up and down, a slow start, but they've been consistent to get themselves into that second spot. I know their style of football is often criticised, but for me, they're the most consistent side outside of UCD, and that's why they're my tip to at least get to that final against Limerick. But for me, to get second place, and you know, they have the advantage now of just having to play four matches as opposed to six.
And standout player this season?
Standout player, that's an interesting one. Mikey Pearce has come in and done well.
Paddy McCourt hasn't played
as much, you know, as in previous years.
He's going to be a loss to the league, though, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's a super player.
That goal he got recently was brilliant. But at the back as well, I think if you look at the players at the back, Gallagher's always a solid goalkeeper. Mm. I've been very impressed with their centre-half, Cowan.
Yeah.
And I know Toll has been getting very good reports down there as well. So tough one to get a standout player. I think with an Ollie Horgan team, it's always more about the unit than individual players, and very much the case. So I'm giving them an A.
Yeah, well, I can't disagree with that. I mean, they've bounced back pretty well this season, so yeah. Mate.
Shells?
Yeah, good season. I mean, they were my tips to win it.
They were always inside that top four.
Yeah, exactly. And I think third's been about right for where they were. I mean, they started off like a tray with Sullivan and James English scoring goals, didn't they?
Yeah, James English is a player I like, actually. Sully had a great start. Goals dried up towards the end. They probably haven't performed as well, and this is probably why they're getting a B as opposed to A. Considering the players they brought in recently, you would have expected them to maybe have a stronger finish to the season. But, you know, they've got themselves into the playoffs. They'll have home advantage in that second leg. Let's see, can they go all the way? I'm sure it'll be very close if themselves and Harps are to meet. But plenty of goal threat in that team. I think Heary's done a good job the last couple of years to slowly build a team together there, because you have to remember, they had absolutely nothing, Shells.
Yep.
And now that the new investment is in, they can finally go and give things a right crack. They're going to hope this is their year. But if not, then they very well could be a real, real threat to win this division next season.
So you've got them down as a B. I think they're going to turn that into an A when they win the playoffs.
Fair enough. They're your tip for the playoffs?
My tip for the playoffs, yeah. Okay. I think they'll go through the six matches.
What do you feel separates them from Harps? Is it just goal threat?
I think so. And just the all-round, you know, the forward players. Yeah, I know we talked about Paddy Kavanagh and
Karen Moore, Sully,
yeah,
English,
yeah.
Morehouse.
They're a real dangerous setup going forward. I think that'll be enough.
Plenty of experience there as well. So
yeah,
let's go to Drogheda.
Well, I think they've done brilliant to say what they had at the start of the season. Team gets relegated. They lost
everything. So
much, yeah. They lost everything. You know, they've a young manager.
Rookie manager
in charge.
First season.
Yeah. But they've done fantastic. Some astute signings. I have to say, I never thought they'd do as well as they have done.
Yeah, they surprised me.
Yeah.
I suppose the disappointing aspect was that they were used to these main challengers for so long. Then they had that blip where it looked like they were totally going to fall out of the playoff places. Maybe that's because they have young players in the team, but they have a nice blend there as well. You have obviously the likes of Skinner, who's experienced. You have Sean Brennan, who's experienced. So yeah, to get in the playoffs obviously was the aim. They've done that, but just for that little loss of form, you could give them a B as opposed to an A.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Our own Longford Town.
Yeah, well, it's so close but so far, hasn't it?
Yes. Yeah. It's a shame they couldn't make the playoffs, because as a supporter, you want to have more games to go. It's very disappointing now that the season is over and we're only gone into October. And I actually wrote a piece today on the long off season here that League of Ireland clubs experience on betweenthestripes.ie, so do check that out. But from a Longford point of view, it looked like after that, going into that drop of the game, and when they went 1-0 up, that they were going to get in the playoffs, and you probably would have been giving them a B at the very least. But then to fall away the way they did, especially then after they had beaten UCD 5-1.
I was just
going to
say, the consistency killed them.
The consistency killed them, yeah.
They dropped some silly points through the season. And you know, Neil Fenn's going to have to get that rectified if he wants to get promoted next season. Because
in terms of the players he brought in, how do you feel his recruitment was?
A mixed bag. I have to say, a mixed bag. The signing of McGlade was a bit of a masterstroke. Well, yeah. We were all very critical of it in the first place. But I think his big signings failed him. I do feel a little sorry for him on that side of things, because I feel the three signings that we talked about before, that the experienced players, they just didn't hold up to the reputation.
Mulhall, Shane O'Connor and Meenan.
Yes. Yeah. They were just weren't what we thought we were getting.
Yeah, and you'd imagine a big chunk of the budget was probably using them players, because I know a lot of fans were critical that we didn't have the reinforcements towards the end of the season.
There was no squad size left, so no. I mean, that's why the challenge for the playoffs petered out. And to be honest, Kieran, if they'd have got into the playoffs, they wouldn't have got through
the
matches.
They were down to the bare bones.
Yes, they were at the bare bones.
So to get so close is a credit in itself, but then you could see one of the things that really held them back towards the end of the season was they were lacking that experience on the park. They were lacking that leader. I know we've mentioned his name so many times, but they were lacking a Stephen Rice type player, a Pat Flynn type player.
Yeah.
So you can see the idea that Fenn had going and getting those players, but they just didn't deliver. So it's been unlucky for him. Overall, I'd give Longford a C+.
Yeah, well, he learned from this, Kieran. And
I think so, yeah. And, your fear now, though, is how many players are they going to lose?
Well, yeah. But I mean, that's the same for all clubs. It's just that's just the League of Ireland. You lose players, you bring other ones in.
They were just, if they could have got into them playoff or got promoted this season, like, there was a lovely little set of players there, and they just needed a little bit of experience here and there.
Yeah.
Whereas now the whole thing could be torn apart and start again. It's so frustrating for League of Ireland managers.
It's young, promising players as well that are going to lose. McGlade would definitely go.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if Daniel O'Reilly went. You know,
probably maybe Verdon as well.
Sam Verdon. Yeah. But look. You know, I think Neil Fenn, he's got enough contacts in the game. He'll be able to bring players in.
And I suppose that's the biggest thing for Longford, is to keep him, because he's really revitalised the club in his season and a half here.
Yeah, you don't think he'd have any talk about Seb Pat's job or anything like that?
No, not just yet.
No, okay.
I definitely think big, bright future for him, but right now I think he's probably enjoying the project at Longford.
Yeah. Galway, disappointing, Kieran.
F.
Generous.
It is generous.
No, do you know what? Their season fell apart with Furlong's injury, I think. I think when they signed Furlong, we thought that would be the real crunch.
They had a great start and he was banging goals in for fun. But you always had questions about Shane Keegan. His style of football was too open. That's why many people feel they were relegated last season. He went with the same approach this year. They always looked vulnerable at the back. I mean, their back four was one of the slowest back fours I've ever seen.
No improvement since Keegan went at all, neither.
No. It's going to be a very difficult off season for Galway.
Yeah, because there was supposed to be some investments, and that looks to have gone out the wall.
It's gone now. So it's a long, long off season, as we've said, but definitely this has been a disastrous year for Galway.
Cabin Teeley keep plodding a little bit better every season, and.
But yeah, we were probably hoping they'd push on, but I think I remember saying at the start of the season, I didn't feel they had the quality in that squad.
No.
I do think there's some players there that I like the look of. I like the look of Conor Healy at the back.
Yeah.
They have a great goalkeeper in McGuinness. Marty Waters didn't have a great season by his standards. Be interesting to see if he sticks around. He probably will, I think. Yeah, there's some promising. Klukas, another one, had a good season. Their best results came at home. They really upset some big sides at home. Drogheda, Longford. I think they beat Shells at home too. I think they beat UCD at home too, am I right in saying? So they've had good results at home, but away from home they've been very poor, and you'd have to give them an E.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
You could argue for a D, but...
Yeah, look, with the resources they've got, Kieran, I think E's a little bit harsh, but... I'd love to see them push on, because I think it's a good little club, and the right people are there, so it'd be nice.
It doesn't seem to be much of an improvement in attendances. You'd like to see if they could have a really good season. Let's say they were in the playoffs now. Do you think there'd be more people going out to watch Cavan Healy?
Possibly, but I don't think you're going to get a right lot until they really start.
Well, the talk is that one day they want to move to Cavan Healy, but obviously not playing Stradbroke anymore because the facilities there aren't really made up for a football club. So, it's good to still see them in the league, and there hasn't really been many whispers of them considering leaving it or anything like that. So for a new club, they're going along fine. We've had guests on here from the people that run Cavan Healy. They've spoken really ambitiously. Great to hear. So you'd like to see Cabo just continue their progress over the next couple of years and then give it a real whack in, you know, the next 5-10 years.
Cove were a team that came to the league this year full of promise and talk, but it became pretty clear early on that they weren't going to be anywhere near the top. Yeah. No, and...
comes down to resources though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty poor season, apart from that great run they had in the cup.
Great cup run and a great performance in the final, as we said after it. We were really impressed with a couple of their players. I suppose that's the challenge now, in keeping the likes of Christopher Hull, who got that goal against Dundalk. Fernandez impressed me in the final, and Kevin Taylor impressed me. But they're all locally based players down there, so I'm sure it's convenient for them to play for Cove.
It's a real tough project, that team, I think, for anybody that's little. Hendo does great, I think,
with
what he's got there. But it's real tough, isn't it? And even if Cove get promoted, are they going to get much bigger attendances and things? You know, they're drowned out by Cork down there as well, aren't they? So
yeah, the only thing, they do pick up the odd player off Cork and younger players especially. Mm. So look, it's always going to be, they've overachieved in the last few years, so maybe we've been harsh by giving them a D here, but I'm sure Hendo probably would have expected more in the league, but as you said, it was a great League Cup campaign, so we can't be too harsh on them.
No. Wexford, pretty dire this season, Kieran.
I've been very critical of Wexford on the show this season. It's an F for me.
Yeah, I'm not going to add too much more to that. The results have speak for themselves.
There's a couple of clubs here we're looking at. I mean, we spoke about Galway, how tough an off-season they're probably going to have. Cove there, as you said, they're always, the resources, it's difficult for them. Wexford, atrocious. We'll speak about Alone in a second. But, you know, it's difficult. It's very difficult for those clubs. Mm. And it's hard to see where they really go from here.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be just
survival.
Doing the same thing year in, year out.
The first division, it's all about survival. You're just literally trying to keep a club on the road.
Mm.
Year after year, it is so difficult for them.
Yeah, come on then, Athlone.
F.
Well, I'm not even going to grade them. They're getting a U from me, Kieran. To go the whole season without a win, without a win on the pitch.
Yeah.
A couple of highlights: they drew against Longford when I still don't know how that happened.
Yeah, thank God I wasn't there for that.
Yeah, but really appalling.
Got a draw against Harps as well.
Yeah, they've been poor. There's been little flashes
here and there,
but they've followed up a vaguely decent performance by getting stuck
smacked next
week,
match.
Yeah. There is some hope they're getting the replacement pitch in place. And
sick of hearing about this plastic pitch. I mean, realistically, John, is a plastic pitch going to make any difference to Athlone in the next couple of years? It'll save them money in terms of maintaining the grass pitch. They'll be able to make money renting it out. But I'm hearing this line that, we'll make X amount and we'll be able to pay players. It's not going to be enough. If you're getting 50 people in the gate, plastic pitch, grass pitch, play on concrete for all you want. It's not going to make any difference.
Look, you expect them to be there, same spot next season?
If they're even there.
Right, okay. Yeah. Well, we'll see, Kieran.
I mean, if you're getting 50 people in a gate, how can you realistically expect to keep a club running?
You can't balance the books. No. It's as simple as that.
I think it needs fresh life off the pitch there.
Yeah.
Obviously,
and it's sad when you think what that club used to be.
Yeah. It's sad. And even from a Longford point of view, the derby now means nothing anymore.
No. When you think of when Roddy was there and the derby matches there, the atmosphere was amazing.
Premier Division games wouldn't have seen the crowds and the atmosphere that derby brought. But yeah, that's been our report cards. We'd love to hear your views on how you think the First Division teams have fared this season. Do you feel the off season is too long? You can get in contact with us on Twitter at Between Stripes and use the hashtag Between the Stripes, and we're also on facebook.com/Between the Stripes. That has been another edition of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. My thanks to John for joining me again this week. Just before I go, always mention our sponsors, flowmax.ie, main title sponsors here at Between the Stripes, Diageo, website creators of BetweenTheStripes.ie, and to St. Mel's Brewery, who are the sponsors of the St. Mel's Brewery Prediction Game, and of course Lockery's Pharmacy in Drumlish, who continue to let us use their fine facilities here to record the show every week. Make sure you give a subscription on iTunes, leave us a review as well, always very important to get feedback on the show. And we're also on the likes of Audio Boom, SoundCloud, etc. So a follow on those platforms is always great. That's been this week's show, folks. Thanks for joining us, and we'll speak to you again next week.
Subscribe to Between the Stripes LOI podcast now on iTunes, Audio Boom, Mixcloud, Pocket Cast, or Podcast Republic, and never miss an episode. You can follow us on Twitter at Between Stripes, or like us on Facebook and Instagram by searching Between the Stripes. Add us on Snapchat. Our username is BTS1924. While for all the latest League of Ireland news and updates, you can visit BetweenTheStripes.ie. Until next week, thanks for listening.